Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass. Got it! And the Panthers have won it! At the buzzer on a shot! Oh, my goodness! By Derrick Queen. 72-71, and we're heading to San Francisco. It's about time!
You know what, I asked everybody, I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around, go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
So you heard the final call, Johnny Holiday, right here on 105.7 The Fan and the Maryland Sports Radio Network. Derrick Queen led all five starters in double figures with 17 points, including the two at the buzzer. Maryland defeats Colorado State 72-71. Then you heard Kevin Willard. That was CBS postgames. Derrick Queen wanted the MF ball. It wasn't pretty, but survive in advance is the theme of March Madness, and the Terps did just that. They will be playing Florida in the Sweet 16 on Thursday.
Huge moment in program history. You're talking about a tournament that has been devoid of a lot of this, right? The whole idea of beat the clock and last second shots. We haven't seen buzzer beaters in this tournament. We have that. Some would say they've been on the decline in recent years. That there hasn't been a moment like this for the Terps on the winning end of a buzzer beater in quite some time. And the fact that it was a true freshman, a young man from Baltimore, who took over when it was needed most and whose offense was so necessary in a game where they got nothing out of the guards really offensively. It's a special moment. And to do it in that nature where he created the entire thing himself. He gets the ball at the top of the key above the foul line and beats a man on the dribble, goes to his left, and makes that sort of a shot.
Guy played good defense.
In the air. Yes, he has to create for himself. He has to get that shot off, and then to put that thing in literally as time expired, it's special, special moment. And I'm really glad, frankly, the ball was in his hands and not the point guard's. I'm glad that it was him in a position to win within 5 feet of the basket, where had the Terps guards more fully embraced the idea of getting it to their bigs within 5 feet of the basket, maybe it wouldn't have come down to that last second shot, but that's what it did. And we were going bonkers in my living room watching that with my boys yesterday. It was absolutely phenomenal and one of the more emotional moments in recent Baltimore sports history. I can't think of too many important games that went down to the wire like that for the Terps, the O's, or the Ravens in recent years that we came out on top of. I go back to some of those crazy Sunday afternoon games against the Rays a couple years back as you're fighting to make sure you get into the playoffs, including the game, I think, where they clinched it and celebrated after Adley had some huge at-bats when they were behind and the bullpen patched it together.
Frazier at the ball down the line with Mateo coming in.
Yes, like, okay, there's some stuff like that. But even that wasn't to the magnitude of this.
No.
Where literally, if they had lost that game and lost it on an uncontested three-point shot with 3 seconds to go, after the way they lost all these other games, and with the Willard stuff hanging in the air, it would have been a colossal gut punch.
Oh, my God. And the highs and lows of it all, where this is March, guys. You have a Colorado State team that was a 7.5-point underdog that took the lead with, you know, 3.7 seconds on that inbound pass. And that was the Terps' first buzzer beater in March Madness since Drew Nicklaus in 2003.
So I was in Vegas.
It tells you how long it's been. Those are the type of moments that are forever cherished. And every single year in March, you see that Drew Nicklaus shot. And now every single year in March, you're going to see that Derek Queen shot off the glass.
Speaking of Derek Queen, this is what he had to say after the game.
There was a timeout. You said, I'm not going to say the full thing, but you said, get me the ball when he came out of the timeout. Where does that confidence come from?
I mean, so I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And then I kind of had it going all game. Me and my teammates had it going. And like I said, like, they trusted me to take that last shot.
NIL Collective has already put out a shirt that says I'm from Baltimore, that's why. It's something that we as Baltimore sports fans take pride in the fact that we are from Baltimore. We have that chip on our shoulder. And Derek Queen, a Baltimore kid, saying that out loud after that shot, that was awesome.
I mean, that quote, who's going to forget that quote? For him only being here 1 year, he has created a lot. And I think something Bone and I touched on a lot on Friday's show, previewing the game, whatever was going to happen this opening weekend of the tournament, I think Derek Queen has positioned himself to be one of the more influential players in program history because of the moment in time that we're in, where it's been a minute since the Terps had a potential top five, you know, NBA pick. It's been a minute since the Terps had a recent graduate on a Supermax NBA contract who is playing in all-star games and wearing Maryland gear on the shoot-around while he's playing in games and doing commercials for Maryland and Under Armour or whatever, all that stuff, who could be an ambassador at this point in time where kids are getting paid and the portal has exploded and NIL is a big deal, and letting all the kids from Baltimore know you can be me and you can be me by staying home and going to College Park and having that be a big part of their brand. Like, it's a lot to put on a kid's shoulders, but does anything seem to faze him? I mean, if this isn't Nothing. Evidence that he's made for this, you're not paying attention. So I think it could be absolutely vital, especially if Willard stays, that just the pipeline will be robust. And what this kid could give back to the program financially and as a brand ambassador and basically as a role model, It could be exponentially beneficial.
Well, and that's the biggest thing. It's also been a while since they've been to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
It's been 9 years, and you hope that this run can continue. But they've had this nice little run of the Baltimore pipeline to College Park with Jalen Smith and Daryl Morsell, Julian Reese, and now Derek Queen, and you look to build on that.
Yeah, there was a time when Baltimore kids didn't come to Maryland. It was big deal when Keith Booth went to Maryland. It was the post Ernie Graham stuff with Lefty,
yes,
and Baltimore guys did not want to go to Maryland, and we'd see them star elsewhere. And now it seems like the Baltimore kids are staying home, which again, part of that is Kevin Willard, and hopefully Kevin Willard is staying home, because if not, and we don't know, he does not yet have a deal, and the Villanova thing is still lurking out there. I think that this who's taking that job if Kevin Willard's leaving?
Well, and I think the other part of it, too, if Willard does stay and you build off this momentum, I think this also could be the place where Baltimore kids leave, they go somewhere else, it doesn't work out, they come back here. And maybe they don't come back here as the five-star, build-your-program-around type guy, but they come back here and they give you 10 to 12 minutes off the bench, and it's a big deal. Like, I'm thinking about the kid, Amani Haynesworth, right, who went, didn't work out at Illinois. Where did he go, Ben? He transferred.
Hansberry went to West Virginia.
Right. Now, does he want to come closer to home? Like, I just think that the fact that Willard has embraced this so much, and now you've got Juju, who's improved his NBA stock by staying there, and Queen, who has going to maximize his NBA stock by going there for 1 year, I think it becomes a destination immediately, and it becomes a destination. Hey, I'm going to go home. I'm gonna take the money I can get from Maryland, and it'll go further because I know everybody there, and I'll have more connections, and I already know the people at Lido's, yada yada yada, and I'll go play my final year or two there.
And we played that quote, remember, from Kevin Willard on CBS Sports Network asking about Queen potentially going to Georgetown. He said, Baltimore kids aren't going to Georgetown. Yeah. Baltimore kids are staying in Maryland.
Quickly, before we step out, they played Friday. They got off to their usual slow start. And then they blew the doors off of Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I mean, they did what we thought they could do. We talked a lot about on Friday, if you want to just lob the ball inside every day, every possession, they will not be able to do anything about it. And frankly, I'm not sure that Colorado State could have done that much more about it if you really leaned into that approach and philosophy. They just didn't. But yeah, they did exactly what they were supposed to do in the opening game outside of the shaky start. The shaky start carried over again into very much the first half against Colorado State, and I'm hoping that they've exercised that demon, because I think some of that was born of the fact that they were jittery and nervous because, oh my God, imagine if we lose to this lesser team and that's how our season ends.
Yeah, well, guess what? There now.
They're not going to be. It's been a long time since they've been an underdog. They're going to be an underdog from here on out.
Before we step out, we got a poll. IA1057 The Fan is how you can vote on this poll, every poll on Twitter. Simple question for Terps fans: will the powers that be at College Park step up and keep Willard here and opt to be a big time basketball school, or will they keep splitting the baby between hoops and football and lose him? Close to 200 votes in, 58.3% Terps will keep Willard, 41.7% he's gone.
I'm strangely confident he's staying, but talk to me again on Wednesday. Like, if there's no word of momentum to a deal on Wednesday and we get closer to tip on Thursday, I might start to get a little nervous about this thing. But I'm confident right now, strangely.
I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I'm not sure if I'm confident.
I think the longer it goes on, the more nervous I get. So, like, I'm with you, Ken. Early in the week, I'm feeling pretty good.
Coming up next here on the program, more Bone. It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Yeah, we talk about Derek Queen's legacy at the Maryland program. But, guys, what about Julian Reese joining a very, very exclusive club? Got over 1,000 career rebounds. Only him and Len Elmore are in that 1,000 rebound club. And also, how impactful was he down the stretch? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Everyone's talking up the Derek Queen buzzer beater, as they should. We're going to see that shot every single March for years and years and years to come. But I want to give a shout out to Julian Reese down the stretch as well. Queen got that bucket, but the prior 6 points were scored by Julian Reese. And 4 of those 6 points were at the foul line. And the last 2, that we haven't even brought this up yet.
The rebound?
Yes.
Where he was like Plastic Man, he was like Gumby, the way he stretched out even though he was being fouled.
The second to last possession was a nightmare by the Terps, coming out of a timeout. And Seldon Miguel just had to put up a prayer at the end of it. Julian Reese got a grown man rebound and then got fouled and hit both of those shots at the line. And it's sort of a full circle moment for him, because what was the big knock for him? Mm-hmm. He couldn't shoot free throws. He couldn't hit free throws. Where here's Julian Reese after the game talking about being calm, cool, and collected at the foul line.
When I was at the line, like, I was really just excited, because, like, this is really what I work for in the offseason. Like, that's literally all I was thinking. Like, the offseason work is the same shot, and I was just literally, like, before we went in the huddle, like, when they were reviewing it, we just, like, let's worry about defense right now. I got these shots. Let's just worry about defense. So I really wasn't thinking too much about the shot, like, making it. I was really thinking about defense, and I was really just, like, extremely confident going into the line.
His sophomore and junior years combined at the free throw line, he shot 55.4%. This year, 73.5%. And I don't know about you guys, but I felt very confident when he was at the line for all of those shots, and they all looked pure. He also had a strong game against Grand Canyon, where early on that game, when the offense was pretty inept and bad, they started to get him the ball down low, and he was able to jumpstart that offense. He finished with the game-high 18 points. And he also, in that game, joined Len Elmore as the only other player in program history to have over 1,000 rebounds.
It's crazy. That's a lot of rebounds, man.
So looking at some of his career numbers in terms of program history, he's seventh in field goal percentage, second in total rebounds, eighth in blocks, and 20th in points. And that's to go along with really good defensive players. Well, he got snubbed not being on defense.
If he could shoot foul shots his first 4 years here, or 3 years here, he'd be in the top 10.
Yeah. And he's also probably one of the last of a dying breed in terms of these 4 year players at the same program. And Ben, I think you brought up a couple weeks ago about him possibly, is he a Raptor guy? And the numbers are there.
Yeah, a lot of people push back on it.
I'd put him in the rafters.
I would.
I would too.
I mean, the Baltimore thing and everything, just
he stayed.
Why not? Yeah. Like, I absolutely would. It's interesting. Our buddy Jonas Schaefer, IA Hall of Famer, who I think is going to be in San Francisco. He told us he's going to be in San Francisco this week. He put a tweet out after the game last night. He said that around this time last year, he went to College Park to do a story on the women's team, and he was waiting for them to like start practice. And it was like 4 or 5 days after the Terp season had obviously ended at ended with a thud. And Juju was the only person in Xfinity Center just taking foul shot after foul shot after foul shot after foul shot all by himself. I mean, it's a real lesson for young people out there. Like your weaknesses can become your strengths, and the work you do when nobody's around, when you're not playing video games, when you're not goofing off with your friends, when you put your mind to, hey, there's something pretty simple that I think I can get better at if I really work at it and prioritize it. Like, yeah, there's a lot of truth in that.
You know, it's crazy, and he's been so good from the foul line. The Grand Canyon game was sort of the outlier for the team from the foul line. I remember in our six-pack last Thursday, I was like, well, they're 76% free throw shooting team. They were 12 for 24 from the line against Grand Canyon, and Juju sort of had he was 2 for 6.
Yeah.
Even DHS in his legacy game was 0 for 1 from the line. But he was 5 for 5 last night. Huge free throws.
And down the stretch in critical, close, late, tight situations, which have been this team's undoing.
Yes. And the leadership ability as well. It's just, he's one of those players that got better each year, his time.
Well, and there were some things that came out from this game as well, where some guys had to, as great as Derek Queen played offensively, this was another night, and we'll talk about this through the week, where they got murdered, but on the offensive boards.
Yes.
And I think there was some tough love administered to Derek Queen at halftime. And
there was.
My guess is Juju was probably the primary voice responsible for that and helping them shore some things up again.
Coming up next here on the program, we switch back to baseball. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We'll ask him about Kyle Gibson, about the shortstop, if Gunner can't go. Oh, well, he's not going. Come opening day, who's playing shortstop, and much more. Jacob joins us next here on The Fan.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spring training baseball is over. They were supposed to play one more game against the Nationals today in D.C., but it was rained out. So now they head to Toronto, where the season begins on Thursday. It's a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline and talk to our friend, IA Hall of Famer Jacob Calvin-Meyer, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He joins us now. And, Jacob, thank you, as always, for joining us. A lot of O's news this weekend. Let's start with Kyle Gibson. Your thoughts on the Gibson signing?
Yeah, at first I was a little confused, and I thought it was a little bit weird. I didn't really know what to make of it other than, listen, there's really no worst-case scenario here other than losing $5 million, and it's not my money or Mike Elias's money. So I guess the only downside that I see, which I think should be a concern, and it should be front of mind, is if Kyle Gibson is quote-unquote blocking somebody else from being in the rotation and Gibson's not maybe pitching well, or it stunts the development of somebody like Cade Povich if they have to send him down after the first month. But it does look like they're going to give Povich a little bit of a runway here to stick in the rotation and see how the season goes. Listen, I think the offseason went a type of way, either intentionally or unintentionally, that the Orioles have to kind of really lean on their rotation depth instead of having, honestly, a really good rotation, because they don't. I mean, they probably have, if not the second worst, the worst rotation in the division. And I think they're betting on the fact that if we can get a bunch of veterans with high floors that can give us 5-6 innings, give up 3 or 4 runs, then we're going to win a lot of games, because that's going to take some pressure off of a bullpen that doesn't look very good if we can have some inning eaters. And I think they expect to have a top 3, top 5 offense in baseball.
Well, Jacob, that's where I was going with Cade Povich. And Mike Elias had that quote, I'm paraphrasing here, but saying that he gives them the best chance to win in the 5th game of the season. And obviously Gibson is looming, but that's going to be beginning of May. Do you see them possibly going to a 6-man rotation when he's ready?
Yeah, first I have to, about Povich, have you guys weighed in on the Piano Man versus Real Slim Shady debate?
It's Real Slim Shady, and it's not even close.
Well, that's because Jason's biased. He hates Billy Joel.
He hates Billy Joel.
He's like, I think Jason, and Jason has a lot of hate in his heart, but I think Billy Joel may be in his top 5 hated people.
But he hates the Eagles more than Billy Joel.
True.
Yeah.
True.
See, I think it has to be Piano Man. I just think it'd be a classic. I think the stadium would be able to sing that song more than Real Slim Shady, which honestly, once you get to the, you know, the second verse, you got to bleep out a lot of
that. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, I love Piano Man, so I'm good with that.
What's the Piano Man? What am I missing there? Like Slim Shady, I get it. His nickname's Slim.
I guess he's a Billy Joel fan.
I don't know the reason. It was his, I think he changed his, Cade changed his walk-up song mid-season last year, and then he had that great September with Piano Man, so I think that's the reason.
So it's
why.
Kind of like Gunner.
Can I ask a question then? Like, if you've gone from Cade to Slim, right, and you're kind of like putting your ish out there and you've got a new confidence, wouldn't you rather have Eminem than a bad Billy Joel ballad?
Time out.
Maybe it's a
not a bad song. It's a great song.
It's really cheesy. It's not going to fire
really
you up.
It's really great, and people will sing along they do.
He's
calming.
He's looking to have Riz, right, like the kids say. You don't come out to Piano Man. You're younger than me. speak here, beat guy. You're in the Hall of Fame. What do you beat come guy. On? Am I right? I'm right. Come on, come Jacob. On, I'm right. Guy.
He likes Piano Man.
I don't think you're right, but oh! I did not expect to hear you say the word Riz.
Yeah.
I've got an 18-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Jason's Billy Joel bias should not affect this.
Right. Okay, back to the question. The Cade Povich thing is interesting because there's something Michael Elias said in his answer, which really stuck with me, which was that Povich gives them upside in their rotation. And honestly, their rotation really lacks upside.
Yes,
it does. By upside, I just mean untapped potential or a variation of outcomes. I mean, we know what Charlie Morton and Kyle Gibson and Zach Eflin and even to a lesser extent, maybe Dean Kramer are at this point. Povich is somebody who is 24. He was great in September. He looked awesome this spring. He could pop, right? And I think they want to give him that chance. I do believe that the team thinks that that is within his range of outcomes, and they want to see how this April goes before making that decision with Gibson. With the six-man rotation, I was convinced when they signed Sagano that at some point they would go to a six-man. When they signed Charlie Morton, I was even more convinced, even despite the fact that they kept poo-pooing it when asked. At some point this season, I would put all of the money in my bank account, which is about $27.
Nice.
I would put it on them at some point having a six-man rotation. Could be when Grayson Rodriguez comes back, whether that's in May or June. That could be when Kyle Bradish comes back in August. But it would make no sense to build this amount of rotation depth with young guys who have injuries, with old guys who they want to keep fresh, with Sagano who's used to having extra rest. All of these factors make sense to them going to a six-man at some point later this year.
Hi, Piano Man. Help me make sense of this. Today's potential future Masson Classic was rained out, so we'll never see what Jackson Holliday would have looked like at short. But he was written in at short again, like he's been quite frequently lately with Gunner down. I can't figure out who's being served by this. Like, I don't think it serves Jackson Holliday's confidence or preparation better to jerk him around and put him back at short where he could barely handle second. Some would say he didn't really handle second at a true major league level a year ago, and we know the degree of difficulty going to short. He's not played much short at all the last year, and Jordan Westberg is clearly better at third, and the skipper's on record basically saying, yeah, we should probably try not to jerk guys around too much, and Jackson, at second and Westy at third is probably our best defensive outcome. Yet the powers that be don't seem to be embracing that. Who's being served here?
Yeah, I think there's two different things I want to attack there. The who's being served with Jackson playing shortstop, in my view, is the team's goal of winning baseball games for the six games that Gunner's out. I think that moving him to shortstop gives them the best chance to win. I understand that. Let's say it is Levon Soto who's on the bench. And this is no knock to him because he played well in a very tiny stretch with the team last year.
And he's hit in AAA before.
Yeah, he has hit in AAA, which makes you question, okay, if there's a 24-year-old who's hit well in AAA, who can play three infield positions, why has he bounced around and been on three teams in the past year? If he was a plus defensive shortstop, that would not have happened. And so I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. There's really no metrics on Levon Soto being playing shortstop. But if he was a great defensive shortstop, he wouldn't be with the Orioles right now. So I think that's one area where Jackson Holliday is not going to be a great defensive shortstop. But the reason to move him to shortstop is so that you can get a Ramon Arias in the lineup, which I know some fans are going to hear that and scoff at it. But this dude has been a slightly above league average hitter for 4 years. And that is not something to scoff at. This guy helps this team win. This is exactly why Ramon Arias is on this team, is to play almost every day when somebody gets hurt. The different question here is Westberg at third or second. And that's kind of separate to the Holliday thing, because you can put Holliday at shortstop and in my view, do what they should be doing, which is have Ramon Arias at second base, which he says is his best position, and have Jordan Westberg at third base, which the metrics say unequivocally.
It's not even close.
But listen, I'm going to give the team as much grace as possible on this, because they all of these teams have their own defensive metrics. Okay, so OAA, the outs above average, is the one that really dings Westberg because of his range. Perhaps the team, I'm really giving them credit here, they must have some internal metrics that suggest to them that this is their best infield alignment, because otherwise, from the information that we have with the public data, it makes little sense to me to have Westberg at second base and Arias at third.
Let's take it a step further, though. People have been willing to let Soto play a whole lot more shortstop than this team was willing to let Jackson Holliday play, even at the AAA level. And so that's where I don't I don't think Jackson Holliday, and I don't think they really think he's a better defensive shortstop than Levon Soto, but you do.
I don't know the answer to that question. The answer to the question I do know is that they would much prefer to have Ramon Arias in that lineup than Levon Soto, unequivocally. And so that's the bigger question. And my guess is if they do think that Levon Soto is a slightly better defensive shortstop, then it would be very slight. And additionally, if they were so concerned about Jackson Holliday's defense, and listen, the roster's not set yet, so who knows? But if they're really concerned about Holliday's defense, then it's going to be Luis Vasquez, not Levon Soto.
Okay, that's
and
fine.
Luis Vasquez is going to play short because he's a good defensive shortstop.
He's a plus shortstop.
He's not. Yeah, he can't really hit, but
that's fine.
Six games. I don't think that's what they're going to do. From my eyes, I think Holliday's going to be fine at short. I think there's going to be, in these six games, there's going to be one or two plays in the hole that he doesn't make where you go, Gunnar might have made that play. But then there's going to be one or two plays where he's going to his left where he looks pretty good. And so I'm not that concerned about the defense for Holliday at shortstop.
One more before we let you go, Jacob. Kelton Cowser leading off. Is this something we're going to see in the regular season? Do you like that?
When Gunnar's out, I think it's going to be Cowser leading off against righties and Westberg leading off against lefties. And then when Gunnar comes back, I think you have to assume he's going to lead off.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's an opportunity for Cowser here to really carve out a niche as a leadoff hitter in this lineup. And then they can have Gunnar hit third after Adley. And then if you look at that lineup, it looks really good. Cowser is somebody that was an elite on-base guy in the minor leagues. He looked great this spring. If he can tap into some more of that patience, more of that on-base ability, he does profile as a legitimate leadoff hitter, a little bit more Kyle Schwarber-esque with a, you know, not as low as a batting average, but Cowser's going to strike out in the high 20s, maybe 30% of the time, which isn't ideal. But when he's going to lead the team in pitches per plate appearance, he might lead the team in walks. That's an area where he could end up, if these six games go really well, he could be the team's leadoff hitter moving forward.
So the chip is completely sailed on Cedric leading off.
I'd be shocked. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if Cowser, I don't see it. I don't see Mullins leading off for this team.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always great, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy Toronto.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Coming up next, all the interesting stuff there. All the young dudes coming up next. We got one young dude in the rotations, Cade Povich, and then a bunch of old dudes. Explain next here on The Fan. So the Orioles do have one young dude in their rotation. It is Cade Povich. The rest of the guys are old dudes, which includes Kyle Gibson and Beltway Ben. We do have do we have Kyle Gibson talking about Charlie Morton?
You know, he's somebody that I've watched pitch a lot, and it's fun watching him pitch. Just, you know, there's just not many guys that you know, have his stuff, and then also pitch to both sides and set hitters up. And I kind of geek out over watching guys do that. So I'm definitely excited. I heard a lot of really good things about him.
So Kyle Gibson is another old dude. They gave him $5 million. As Jacob Calvin-Meyer said, it's not his money. But it was already an old rotation that just got older, assuming he's ready come May 1st when they say he's going to be ready. But they have one young dude. It's Cade Povich, who was great last September and has been great this spring.
Well, and it's going to be a minute before Gibby is available. And once he's available, again, pitchers sign this late in the game. There tends to be a very high risk of them not getting through a full season and having multiple stints on the IL. So we'll have to look at that. Sagano's never pitched in America before. He's never pitched in games that count with this kind of ball before. And he's never pitched other than a situation where he knows the day of the week that he's going to pitch all the time, which doesn't happen anymore. And these ballparks are very different. Travel's different. So there's that. Charlie Morton's the other side of 40. So there's that. And as much as Gibson helps with depth, it probably doesn't help for at least a month. And there's no Trevor Rogers. And there's no Chase McDermott, and neither of them are going to be available for a while. And there's nothing else that's going to be at Norfolk that you'd particularly want to pitch for you, right? Brandon Young did not look like a prospect whatsoever in the spring. Contreras, I believe, has an interesting arm. I'm not sure it'll ever pan out as a starter. It might not ever pan out as a reliever. Will they stretch him out at Norfolk? They probably should, because again, with Suarez now moved to the pen because they relied on Grayson when they shouldn't have relied on Grayson, and they should have signed a better starter who's more of a horse. We can go through all the permutations of what they should have done, what they didn't do, and why they find themselves in the situation they're in now. But I would posit, again, especially with Gibson not being able to do anything till May at the earliest, that they are actually incredibly thin on starting pitching right now. And if one more thing goes wrong, then Suarez is back in the rotation and your bullpen's even more of a concern. And you're starting from a threadbare situation.
It's a serious concern. We just had Jacob Cavalmeyer on. He said it might be the second worst, if not the worst, starting rotation in the American League East. And not a ton of untapped potential when all of these guys are in their 30s or their 40s, besides Cade Povich as well. So there's a lot of concern with this rotation. I still think it's going to end up being a six-man when Kyle Gibson's good to go in May. But Cade Povich better give him a reason to stay in the rotation, because Mike Elias's initial comments the other day saying that he gives us the best chance to win the fifth game of the season isn't exactly encouraging.
Do you think there's a possibility that Cade Povich gets sent down after that one start?
Yes.
That would be something. No young dudes.
Be no young dudes.
It's all the old dudes. It's the Phillies in the 80s had the Wheeze kids. All those when they brought in like Tony Perez and Pete Rose and Joe Morgan. This would be the pitching version of that.
I mean, look, if they don't have a lot of quality pitching, and they don't, and I would say it's probably one of the five worst starting rotations in the American League. Take it further. I mean, the Central, okay, it's better than Chicago's, but it, with Lopez being healthy, it's not better than Minnesota. It sure as hell ain't better than Kansas City or Detroit. And Cleveland, I tend not to think this is going to hold up for Cleveland, but they do a great job developing pitching.
Arms, yeah.
They feel pretty good about it, so they usually know. It's not better than Seattle, even with the injuries. It's not better than Houston. Texas, we'll see. We'll see. Kumar Rocker and Leiter look pretty damn good. I bet you at least one of them works out. So I don't think it's a great rotation. And they may play the game of Gunner's ready to come back shortly after Slim makes his appearance, and they look at all the off days and say, we can get by with four starters for a while. And we're not sure about Gunner, and Jackson can't play short.
He will, though.
He will. And so I don't know. I think Slim could be not for long.
Coming up next, Terps are heading to the Sweet 16. We talk about it with Chris Knocke. He's on the call with Johnny Holiday and Walt Williams right here on 105.7 The Fan, the Terrapins Radio Network. He joins us next here on The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.